the color voice of the Edmonton Oilers, up QE2. Good morning to Mr. Bob Stauffer.
Hi, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm well. Are you a Calgary Stampede veteran, or is this something that you miss out on annually?
Oh, I think I've gone to it once or twice over the last 10 years. I mean, it's, put it this way, it does have a lot more style and panache than the, I don't even know what they call the, used to be called K-Days or Klondike Days in Edmonton. You know, it's not even comparable, really. You got one that's, an elite event for a city versus another that in Edmonton that's just sort of, it's just sort of there. So, but I go down to Calgary so much, obviously, during the course of the season. And then we usually do an Alberta trip every year with my family. So, but we do that in August. We don't do that. It's too busy, obviously, the first week of July.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, hey, Bob, I mean, come on. Elite things in Calgary and ho-hum in Edmonton. I mean, we're used to this by now, aren't we?
See, I'm not one of those. and when it comes to this event, I'll grant that Calgary's got something that's special, but I'm not a Calgary sucks guy. We had a guy at the sports station that I was on the air at for 6 years that was his whole shtick. And, you know, to me, that's akin to a guy telling fart jokes as a comedian, right? Like you gotta have more juice than that. So, I actually was a battle for Alberta instead of a battle of Alberta going into the 2004-05 lockout. You know, that was really important to see that, Alberta-based teams could be competitive, and both organizations have had some challenges on that front. But I think right now, certainly with Brad Treliving, I mean, there should be an immense amount of confidence in Calgary. And in fairness, even some of the moves that Jay Feaster made prior to Treliving getting there has put the Flames in a pretty good position. And that's only been further enhanced by the Dougie Hamilton trade. In Edmonton's case, Ryan, it got derailed for a year and a half. I don't think there's any question about it. And I know Dallas Eakins is friends with Brian Burke, but Dallas is hiring. I'm not going to say he was a bad coach. I'm just going to say he was the wrong coach for the group here. And they kind of got a little bit back on the rails under Todd Nelson. And it's a brand new world. They got lucky. They won the lottery. They're going to get a generational superstar player. He's going to make everybody else better. You know, they got a new general manager that's won a Stanley Cup. They have a very good head coach that knows what he's doing, that's touched all the bases. And so I actually think the two Alberta-based teams will probably be two of the five best teams in the league in 2 or 3 years from now.
Bob, Derek Wills here. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Hey, do you think the battle of or the battle for Alberta is back this season?
I think it's more incumbent upon the Oilers to make it back. Like, I mean, the Flames were in the playoffs last year, and I expect Calgary to be a playoff team this year. I know the stats Nazis out there all think that the Flames are going to take a bit of a step back. I think the fact that they've upgraded the defense to the degree that they have, even though that may result in a body like Weidman eventually moving out, I think Calgary's going to have a good team. So it's going to sort of be on the Oilers to take a couple steps here. And TBA, I think it's going to take Edmonton at least half a season. They've had some significant changes, obviously, to see this group sort of grow and see where they can go. But I do think that within a year and a half, for sure. And again, I think we're looking at two pretty good hockey clubs. There's no excuse for Edmonton now, really. You know, when the gods gift upon you Connor McDavid, it's pretty difficult to screw that up. That's how good of a player that is. And he will make everybody else better. There was a book written by Peter Zosky, who used to host Morning Side back in the 70s and 80s on CBC, and it was called The Game of Our Lives, and it talked about how Wayne Gretzky made everybody else better. And I genuinely believe that Connor McDavid will make everybody else better.
I'd agree. It's been an interesting offseason in Edmonton. I certainly like seeing Bob Nicholson with his hands on the reins. I like a general manager who's been a general manager before and won a Stanley Cup and made the playoffs 7 out of 8 years. I like a head coach that is well-respected and seasoned at the NHL level prior. There's a lot of things that went wrong in years past, but I think everything I've just mentioned puts them ahead of where they were last year. Plus, you add McDavid. Theoretically, you could have Leon Draisaitl slotted properly, not as a number two center out of the gates as an 18-year-old this year. Darnell Nurse is knocking on the door. I really liked what I saw from Oscar Klefbom. Are they good enough to compete for a playoff spot in the West, or are there still too many question marks to say for sure?
Well, they're good enough to play, you know, meaningful games, I would think, in February and March, as opposed to being out of it November the last 2 years. You talked about that experience. You got to have real experience. I mean, Trey Living spent 6 or 7 years, you know, in Phoenix with an organization on a, you know, small budget that had to find ways to have competitive teams and be very industrious. And Craig McTavish had basically been in management for less than a year in Edmonton. And then he hired a rookie head coach. You look at the situation with the Flames, and yeah, they bring in Trey Living, but they still have Brian Burke, who is bounced around but knows what he's doing. But they had a veteran coach in Bob Hartley, who's a lot better coach now, guys, than he was. You know, I'm certainly a different coach to deal with now than he was when he was in Colorado, and he's smarter, because that's what smart people do, is they evolve, they get better, and they recognize that the older they get, the more they realize the less they know. And again, for a year and a half, we had a scenario where we had inexperience at Edmonton, and it stagnated the development of guys like Hall and Everly. I won't say it stagnated Nugent Hopkins, because I think he overcame it. But, you know, there was criticism of those young, later players, and I really think they're going to take off here. Like, Todd McClellan has a history of breeding offensive confidence in young players, which is important because the Oilers have young players up front that have got skill. One of the challenges that Edmonton's going to have is they don't have what Calgary's got. Calgary's got really good defense. The Oilers don't have it. The Oilers are going to have some good defensemen. Klefbom, you mentioned him. I like Reinhardt. And then obviously Darnell Nurse. I mean, they're going to have three guys that will probably be top four NHL defensemen, but it might take a little bit of time on that back end. So that, to me, will be the question in terms of how quick the transition will occur.
Bob, with Cam Talbot, the Oilers upgraded in goal. I guess it remains to be seen if he's a franchise goaltender. With Andre Sequeira, they've upgraded on defense. With Connor McDavid, they've obviously upgraded what was already a great group of young forwards. But in order for the Oilers to take the next step, does there have to be a culture change like we saw with the Flames? And have you seen a change in culture with the change in management?
Well, I'm one of the guys that thinks that the young guys got too much crap, specifically from the national-based media. And I sort of wondered who was saying what to the guys in Toronto about it. The failure in Edmonton was not a reflection upon Hall or Nugent Hopkins or Everly. To me, it was a failure on management and inexperience in coaching. And, you know, you have a number 5/6 defenseman as your captain come in. That's a bit of a challenge. He's a good guy, but you need a better player to be your captain. That's kind of how things work today. So there could be some, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if at some point here, maybe not this year, but the next year, we have a change in terms of the leadership. And then Ben Scrivens was clearly Dallas Aiken's guy, and Ben Scrivens is going to be in a position where the Oilers might not be done in goal. So we'll see what happens over the course of the next few weeks here. Peter Chiarelli, there's a distinct possibility they end up taking Justin Schultz to arbitration here. And that, I think in theory, opens up a second buyout window. It's a mechanism to open up a second buyout window. And I think the Oilers will look for potentially a new home to Keaton. And I still think there might be an opportunity to have another goaltender brought in to compete against Scrivens. So the culture thing, you know, you win, you have culture. You win with people that are from your past. You know, you have a great history and legacy. You lose, and it's called an old boys network. You know, that's kind of how it works. So, but I don't think it's as bad as people thought. I just think that what happened is there was inexperience. There were short-term decisions that defied logic. You know, keeping Will Acton over Anton Lander. Yeah. I mean, that's laughable now. But that's what happened for two straight training camps. So, again, the experience with the management and coaching, I think, will go a long way to help and spur that. But I actually don't think the young players, you know, were in any way, shape, or form as self-entitled as maybe some people perceived in other markets.
How is Cam Talbot different than Victor Fast and Ben Scrivens? And I'm not trying to be negative. I was so sure the Oilers were going to be better two summers ago, and I was so sure last year the Oilers are going to be much better. I want to believe they're going to be much better this year, but they're still going to a backup from a strong defensive club, and he's kind of projecting to be the number one. Are you more convinced he can have success more than the prior two did?
I am, but it's not just going to be on him. But, you know, in the last 2 years, the only goaltender in the league that had over 50 starts that didn't get pulled once was Cam Talbot. In terms of, you know, the save percentage is there. Victor Fast had a pretty good year the first year in Anaheim and then dealt with injury, and then they moved him. Scrivens had a hot stretch playing for, you know, in front of the LA Kings, who, as you guys know, are a pretty difficult team to play against. So, I think that Talbot has a little bit better track record, but that's a fair question. Okay? That is a fair question. Like, the Oilers are, at least it appears as though right now, you know, they're going to run with Talbot. The team has to play with a better structure and process in their game. They have to, you know, they have to practice better. Like, we'd watch the Flames in the morning skates, and there were comments from maybe some of the people that used to be around about how much energy Calgary was expanding during their morning skates on game day and that they wouldn't be able to sustain it. And not only did the Flames sustain it each of the last 2 years, they got better and better as the season went on. And the Oilers' practices at times were lethargic. There was too much time spent talking and some might say pontificating on the whiteboard. And I think that moves, and that's going to change here. And I've already seen a change because of the development camp, the orientation camp. You watch Jim Johnson and Jay Woodcroft. They grab the player's attention for a minute to a minute and a half, and then they're back at it going. And that's in an orientation setting. That's not even in a practice setting, which would be even quicker once we get going in season. So I think the team will practice better. I think they'll be better taught. And they have made slight upgrades on defense, actually considerable upgrades on defense, and hopefully an upgrade in goal. And hopefully that translates to a little bit better team defense.
Could they stand to add another top four defenseman? I sort of look at the group. I see a lot of 5-6-7s. Like, I really believe that Nikitin is one of those, that Ferentz is one of those, that, you know, on a good team, Fane is one of those, that Griba is one of those. Griffin Reinhart couldn't crack the top six on the island. I just see a lot of third-pairing defensemen. Could they stand to add a Franzen or someone like that?
Yeah, I don't know about Franzen.
Erhoff.
I'd like another Jerry Johansson client. Like, if the Chicago Blackhawks couldn't get something done with Seabrook, I'd put together a hell of a package to go get him. I mean, sure, he'd be the perfect guy. But, you know, in terms of Reinhardt, he's never had a chance to work out because he played with the Edmonton Oil Kings. He was always going in, you know, four rounds of the WHL playoffs, and then invariably he went to two Memorial Cups. In fact, the year he got hurt against Calgary, he doesn't get hurt that year in the third round of the playoffs. Edmonton beats Portland. So they would have won the WHL championship 3 years in a row. So I think he'll play as the third pairing guy. Fane had success playing with Andy Green, which was a smaller puck-moving guy in a top-four role in New Jersey. I think that he'll likely be paired with Kerr, and then they'll keep Klefbom with Schultz together. So it's not an ideal top-four. In a perfect world, you'd say, yeah, they'd like to probably add another top four, but I think there's some financial limitations. They're getting up there in terms of salary structure. And so unless they could pull off something magnificent and something would have to go wrong in Chicago with a guy like Seabrook, I see them right now kind of staying out of it. And they'd have to move a significant contract back if they were to do something like that.
Finally, get us caught up to speed with McDavid mania. We all saw the images from Edmonton. The lower bowl looked pretty full for development camp of all things, and just what you can tell us about his arrival in the city and where morale is at. I know it's been a tough decade for a lot of Oilers fans. We've seen guys driving around the block of owners' management offices with signs. I mean, there's been calls for all kinds of people to be fired and replaced. It's been a tough go, but I wonder what one kid has done to change morale of the fan base.
Changed everything. Like, they won the golden ticket. And the fans, look, every Canadian fan knows how good this guy is. And ironically enough, Chris Knobloch is a University of Alberta graduate, played for the Golden Bears when I did their games 15, 18 years ago. He was put into Erie by Kevin Lowe. So, you know, there's been a lot of viewings there and a lot of conversations with him. And it just, you can't really describe it. Like, it's, you know, and it's not just him. I mean, they've got Nurse and Draisaitl there. I would argue that and they should dominate at that level in that camp. But, it, you know, they're oohing and aahing every time any one of those three guys does anything. And I think that they'll both be, or all three of them will be significant winners in the future. But the catalyst for the genesis of the turnaround for the franchise, you know, you take a look at the timeline. They win the lottery. The next, you know, 2 days later, Nicholson is announced as in charge of everything. 3 days later, they hire Peter Chiarelli as the general manager. The day after they won the lottery, Todd McLellan and San Jose part ways. I think you can read between the lines what happened there. And they end up hiring McLellan. And then, you know, Chiarelli has a very good draft. Not quite as good as Calgary's, given the fact that the Flames ended up getting Dougie Hamilton for a combination of picks, which has still defied everybody's logic in the hockey world, but a pretty good draft. So there's a lot of positive energy right now at Edmonton, guys.
Bob, a pleasure catching up. Friendly Alberta rivalry jokes aside,
sure.
We really do hope that this thing is back and means something. It has been way too many years where it has been just another game, and the Battle of Alberta back between teams that are fighting for, you know, a division lead or, you know, fingers crossed, a playoff series in the next few years would just be something that I think everyone would love. So enjoy a bit of time off, and we'll see you around the rinks in the fall.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Take care.